There's a lot to celebrate.
That's sort of what this podcast is about.
Nailed it. It's like I read the show document and or wrote it.
Well, we are going to talk about our unmarked gravestones at some point.
Dickens. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Could have been.
That wasn't in A Christmas Carol, though.
I don't think so.
It's Tale of Two Cities.
I thought it was Tale of Three Cities.
I can't tell if you're serious or not.
I'm not serious. You just need stuff for the cold open.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we constantly click the play button instead of the discard button in Bellatro. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
Where are we?
That is the perfect question. Where are we? Where are we as game designers, as podcasters, as company business execs? We started this project, we called it a passion project a year ago. Little pat on our backs, Mark. We're a bi-weekly podcast, 52 weeks in a year. This is our 26th episode, and it's the end of season one. We did it. We didn't miss a drop. Consistency, when we started the original podcast, I said to you, consistency is one of the most important things. If we're going to do this well, we have to be consistent. So this episode marks the end of season one. We've never had a season two before, though. Season one was what it is. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Season two is going to tell the story of the game that we have chosen to build. But before we tell you about that, we're going to talk a little bit about this year. And Mark had a really great idea for a holiday theme. What is it?
Well, we just wrapped up our winter performance at our school. Historically, one of our fifth grade teachers has done a rendition of The Christmas Carol at the performance. We're talking about a retrospective of the show. We're going to be looking at what season two is going to look like. Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present, Ghost of Christmas Future.
Fits perfectly.
You didn't like it originally.
I didn't. I wanted to stay away, think away from the holiday theme. And then I connected the dots. I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense for us to think about what we've done this year, where we're at currently, and what is coming up ahead of us. Before we start, this week's episode is brought to you by Rebel Raptor Games. Rebel Raptor Games is a new indie board game publisher focusing on making games that are perfect for kids and new players, but is just as fun for seasoned gamers. Their first game, Raising Rabbits, launches on Kickstarter in March 2025. A $1 refundable deposit and you will be locked in for the exclusive Bunny Bundle mini expansion at no extra charge outside of the base game. Follow them on Instagram at rebelraptor.games or visit rebelraptor.com to join their mailing list for exclusive updates. What are we working on?
We're working on closing out the year. We're going to close out season one of our show officially, and then we're going to be preparing for season two. But in order to do that, ideally, season two needs to be different and develop from lessons that we've learned and where we're coming from in season one. So why don't we go through our ghosts? And I do think it makes sense to go past, present, future. If you had to go back, Jason, to episode one, season one, maybe even before that, if we're going to get a redo on a reroll,
yeah,
board game terms.
That's good.
If you're going to get a reroll on season one, what would you do differently? Or what would we do differently?
There's many answers to that question, and I don't think I'm going to go through all of them. I think we've both thought about it this past week, and we've kind of put together, you know, the big one for me was all of the work that initially went into, and not only work, but money, went into the partnership agreement. There's still part of me that feels like, no, you're doing the right thing. That was the right thing. We didn't have that core group that we have right now back in January. They were there, but we didn't know how to pull them in. And we spent quite a bit of money on a partnership agreement that we haven't officially signed. We have it, but I think people felt like, we don't need that right now. Let's hold off on that. So the groundwork is there. One of the things that did work out, though, one of the things that I think we did need to do is get the trademark application out there, because that takes time. You know, we submitted that nearly a year ago. We still haven't heard back. That's just how that works. It takes a long time to hear back on whether or not, you know, you're going to get the trademark on your thing. So that money we had, I think we had to spend. I think we had to do that. But, you know, spending the money on the partnership agreement was the number one thing where I go, I probably didn't need to do that. If somebody came to me today and said, hey, I got a few friends and we want to start building this board game, we have this idea, I wouldn't say immediately, go get a partnership agreement first. I do think if you're going to sell it, I think when we go to crowdfunding, then we need to have that. I don't think there's a question, but we're not there yet. That was kind of like the number one thing for me where I felt like I spent a lot of time on that. I spent a lot of emails on that. I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And it might have been better served putting that energy somewhere else.
I know where I would have put that energy.
Go on.
When we started, we set a foundation of we don't know what we're doing. And to that end, we're going to do a few things. We're going to practice building games. We're going to study resources about people who have already made games and the way that they've done it and different ways of approaching building games. And we were going to play more games. And I think it would have been advantageous and maybe a more wise use of our time to invest in studying more of the designer resources that are out there and playing more games and deconstructing games and doing more of the kind of exercises that you had us do in the early part of season one. I think that's where I would have relaunched. I would have done maybe a 2-month arc of here's us learning about how to be game designers.
And I put that as my number two. It's in caps. It says time. For as much time as we've put into the project, I feel like I could have even put more time into it. I'm really appreciative of the team members right now who are putting a lot of time and effort into what we're trying to build. And I just want to make sure I match that. And thinking about what you just said, yeah, you know, when we did Word Warpers and Mark versus Jason, how about another episode where we do the same thing? And then another one where we create another game and just kind of like see what ideas we have kind of nestled back there in our brain somewhere. Because I still feel like we haven't made enough games.
I agree. I also think it's easy to cast stones looking back.
I mean, I can throw them pretty far in front of me too, but I understand what you're saying.
We dedicated a lot of mic time to talking about what our personal capacity for this project is. Yes, it's a passion project. Yes, we want to do it really well. It is not our job. It is not our family. It is not the only thing that we do in our lives. And so while, yes, it's easy to go back and be like, yes, we should have spent like all this extra time. It's easy to say that, but then even given the chance to do it again, would we have been able to put more time aside given the capacity that we were working with? And that's not to say that we shouldn't aspire to try to find more ways of spending more time doing things dedicated to the project. So it's hard to say whether we could have spent more time on things related to the misplay in the game and the podcast. In the time that we spent on the show and on building games and working on the project at large, I do wish we would have told a more cohesive narrative from the beginning to now.
When we first came up with the show idea and I came to you, I did not think the path we took was going to be the path we took. I honestly felt like you and I, in that first month, were going to come up with this amazing game idea and we were just going to build it. We would just take that first idea that we have that's really good and say, yeah, let's make this a game. I wasn't thinking that there was going to be a whole season where we didn't know what we were going to be doing. But this year has been really important. We've learned a lot. I think that's going to guide us in season two, where we are going to take that approach, where we're going to say, this is our game. This is what we're building.
Let's not look forward too soon. We're wrapping up our Ghost of Christmas Past.
You got like an hour or so before the next one comes or something. 2 hours?
We're a 30-minute show.
Okay. We should speed that up a little bit, though.
We would typically ask, where are we now? Which would invite our Ghost of Christmas Present. What are our highlights? And what went well this year?
In no particular order, the first one I thought about was Gen Con. Just going to Gen Con, seeing the board game space, interacting with people, playing games, buying games. That to me was kind of the coolest thing we did.
By far. I think the majority of the things that I would write on a highlight reel would be derivative from Gen Con.
Sitting in Lucas Oil Stadium, recording the podcast at Gen Con might've been like the top of it. That was fun. And there's a great photo on Instagram that I love.
Way to plug the socials.
Yes. The Misplay. Instagram. And check out our Blue Sky.
At The Misplay.
If I can't get The Misplay, I won't sign up. Number two.
Number two on the list.
In no particular order. Playtesting. People playtesting a game I built. I'm not even talking about just the ones you and I did. I'm talking about my latest Misplay Redux. Misplay Mountain Redux. Just sitting down at a table and playing that with people, even though they didn't like love it and really want to play it again. That was a cool feeling for me. I had this idea. I physically created it. I put it in front of other people and they were playing it and it functioned and it worked. I thought that was pretty cool.
I felt similarly, but my playtesting highlight was I got to play Word Warpers with my dad and my sister. And I think we talked about, I spent a lot of time playing these like really classic board games with my family, Hearts, Scrabble, Uno. Spent a lot of time playing games like that as a kid. And so bringing something that I created to play with my sister and my dad was really special for me.
I really enjoyed meeting Leonie and having her on the show when we did, getting that, being able to pick her brain and hear her story and be able to follow it to, in a week or so, I should have my copy of Biome. I'm excited to play it.
I think, man, I don't want to jump back to Ghost of Christmas Past, but we did talk about wanting to be more involved in the community. Following Leonie's trajectory was a good example of that. We met at a teach where she was teaching and promoting the game. We went to the Kickstarter release party. We ran into her at Gen Con, and now you're getting your game. While we might not have gotten into like the really wider board game community in our area, our local, our personal community expanded a lot. We really have brought in, and we've been talking about for the last 6 episodes, of the other people that are participating in the playtesting, designing, iterating, and development of what the game will be in season 2. The emergence of that has been a really powerful injection of energy for the game and for the project.
I still look back and think about how cool it was to create the coasters. So we had the Misplay coasters that we had for a couple of months in our local game store. I thought that was really cool to go into the store and see people using it. Somebody holding it. I got the story back to me that somebody would pick it up and hold it to somebody playing the game. That was a Misplay. That was cool.
That was the dream, right?
That was the dream.
They're supposed to scan a QR code afterwards, right?
Yeah, nobody did that. Didn't bring any traffic to our website. It was still a good $150 spent.
More of a return than the partnership agreement. The coasters might not have brought people in, but people did find the show, and we had some very fervent and supportive sponsors that have really carried the feedback, a lot of the community discourse outside of people that we already knew in Discord. We'd like to extend a thank you and appreciation for all of the featured sponsors that we had on the show, especially Board Game Casual. They did an unsolicited and very generous promo of the Misplay on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, I was touched by that. He sent me a message ahead of time and said, hey, I was going to do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, that's so awesome. Appreciate it. If you haven't checked it out, head over to Board Game Casual on YouTube.
Remember, we're just a Board Game Casual subsidiary at this point.
That's right.
See, I speak business. Look at all that growth. I speak business now, Jason.
Yes, you do. Systems, mainly, primarily.
Subsidiary.
You've used some really big words. fervent. Like, that was good. Word warpers style.
What about Tuckman?
Got it in. Every episode, Tuckman's there. So that was Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present. A lot of looking back in the past was like, what could we have done better, right? That's typically how people think about the past. They don't generally look back and go, what are all the amazing things I've done in my life, right? They go, what could I have done differently? But for Ghost of Christmas Present, I want to take a moment and think about what's going well right now.
You talked about it at the beginning of the episode, consistency. One of the things that has started to happen since September is we've been meeting with the wider team on a weekly basis consistently to work on games, playtest, build our collective design team, culture, business.
Systems.
But that consistency has gone a really long way. Not only the consistency of being able to meet and build momentum as a group, but also it's just more fun. Like, it is more fun to be doing it with more people. And so that stands out for me as kind of the shining thing of the moment that we're in that's going to allow us to move into season two and build something that we're going to believe in.
And I said something very similar in my notes as well. I kind of described it as the snowball. I feel like we have formed the snowball and we're just about to kind of push it just a little bit over the hill. And once we do that, it's just going to roll. It's just going to get bigger and it's going to get bigger and it's going to get bigger. I feel like we've done a lot of the work, because you don't just start with a snowball. You have to like pack a little bit. You got to roll it a couple of times, and then it gets to a place where when there's a slope, it'll keep going. Obviously, a snowball on flat land isn't going to go anywhere without anybody pushing it. But I feel like we're at that point where we have packed it, we're rolling it, and right in front of us is that hill. And once we do that, momentum's going to carry us. One of the other things that is working really well for us right now is the adoption of playingcards.io. And we mentioned that briefly on the last podcast, that it's a really good testing vehicle for our team being spread out everywhere. We're not all just sitting together here in San Francisco.
That's true. There is also an episode in the future where we have to talk about how using playingcards.io as our primary testing platform shapes the game that we've chosen and or that we are going to be developing into.
Yeah, because there's some limitations.
Will there be a board?
There's going to be some kind of board. Could be a board in the center, could be a board in front of you. There's going to be some kind of board.
Could there be a side?
I don't think there'll be a and you probably legally can't even say that.
Oh.
Magic's crazy, man. Stay away.
Will there be a mark?
Dominion's crazy. Stay away from them.
Will there be a little extra zone that you can hide cards in and get them later?
That feels possible. Could be a trick-taking game for tricksters.
My game does have one of those. For the record, you brought it up this time, not me.
I knew you would. I was just beating you to the punch, just like you beat me to the Tuckman punch. See, we're laughing. We're having a good time. That's the present.
How do you make sure the snowball is not a rock that's just going to crush you? We want to dodge Ghost of Christmas Future.
Well, we push the snowball so it goes down the hill. I don't know. Whoever is down below is going to get crushed, not us. So we're safe.
You're awfully trusting of a ghost.
I mean, I'm pushing the snowball. What do you want me to do? Run down and get in front of it?
No, but the ghost can teleport you. They go zoom, and then you end up somewhere else.
Oh, that's the Ghost of Christmas Future. Let's talk about the future. And the way I want to think about this is, what are the pitfalls we need to avoid?
We want to, I think first and foremost, if I had to pick an umbrella, we want to maintain the momentum that we've established, right?
Right.
We're meeting, we're working, the group seems to be working well together. We've chosen the game. I think the thing that stands out to me as the most derailing is having committed to something that doesn't sustain the group's interest.
Yeah. No, that scares me for sure. Or part of that is, you know, we kind of whittled it down to two games and then we picked one. That decision paralysis, is that the right word?
No, because we picked one.
Oh, buyer's remorse.
Yes.
It's the buyer's remorse.
But it's not, is it, would it be buyer's remorse because you didn't do the other one? Or for me, it's the, is it the buyer's remorse of, well, we just didn't make that many games. What about all the games we didn't make that we could have been making along the way?
Okay, well, now you're terrifying me because now I have, yes, you're right. But it's going to be that. It's going to be, you know, we've chosen this game. Was it the right game? Was there a better game? If we spent another month in that zone we just were in, where we're all generating ideas, would we have come up with another game? Right. So I know that's not exactly what you're saying, but that is kind of like a connected pitfall for me, is like, I'm really worried about that. And I know it's unavoidable and you can't live your life like that. The thing that stands out to me is making sure that we're able to spread out responsibility between designing the game, testing the game, the website, the social media, the back-end tech, the back-end business system stuff, Marcus. Making sure that it isn't all falling on one person or just falling on two people, that we have to take the initial first steps. We kind of have to, kind of being the face, well, being the voice of the Misplay, I think we have to make sure that, you know, we are putting the things in place for people to do who want to help. They want to help, they want to participate, they want to be involved. We have to make sure that we're giving them the tools to do that. The article that we were going to put on Patreon every week didn't happen. Can we do that next year? I don't know, maybe, but we've got to go to the team and say, if this is something that's important to us, we need help doing this. Could we come up with a system where everybody rotates an article once a month? Not just putting it all on you, not just putting it all on me or Peter for writing the articles, although Peter is a fantastic writer. Balancing everything that we're doing, I think, is one of the things we got to make sure we do right, or people are not going to feel that they are being respected. That could be a patron, or that could be somebody on the team who's like, you know, I'm doing all of this. How come nobody else is?
Well, they'll just get more partnership agreement points.
Yeah. It's not funny.
You're laughing.
For the audience. One of the systems a while back when we were brainstorming partnership agreements was points based on tasks, which seemed like a great idea. It didn't work out. We talked about it on the first episode or second episode. We've referred to it a few times. Mark, what percent is there that we create a board game? How much do you believe that we're gonna put this thing on crowdfunding?
80%.
80. Well, okay. I think you
jumped
up.
Come a long way.
Yeah, you've jumped up. Was it 20%? I think the first time I asked you,
it's pretty low.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't high.
Where are you?
100%. Never. I wavered a little, but I've never not said 100%.
It's funny to me that you've chosen a more bleak or perilous look forward when you're like, yeah, we're going to do it. It's going to be great.
Well, I mean, that's, as my wife says, my unjustifiable confidence.
I don't think it's wrong to look forward and be like, well, what do we want for the show? What do we want for the game either? I think it's smart to look for things that could derail us. But I also think there's a way to look forward and refine and clarify the vision and the goals and the objectives. And when you're working towards something that you have a clear vision for and a path forward of how you're going to get there, it one, makes it easier to see those things coming, and two, mitigates some of the risk because you have a plan. And if the plan adjusts, that's fine, but you have a structure, you have an architecture to follow.
One of the things that's going to change, of course, for season two is going to be the focus on a singular game. We're not going to come on the podcast and talk about all these other projects that we're working on or these other ideas that we had. We're going to be talking about building this game. And the other thing that's going to change with the podcast is, I know we're going to mix up the format a little bit. I think what we've been doing has been fine for now. It was, where are we? What are we working on? What's next? Changing the format of the show to something that kind of fits telling the story of this new game. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to making, you know, some creative adjustments to the show.
I think those things are valuable and worth talking about. And I'm looking forward to being a part of the process of how we determine, like, what is the new structure? What are those creative changes going to be? I want to press you, though. What do you want for the game? What do you want for season two? Not necessarily just, oh, we're like, I think those changes to the show format, the narrative structure, and the general presentation of the show, I think changing those is important and valuable and will be useful in looking at season two, but it's also a little bit more about the aesthetic of the show than it is, what are we going to try to accomplish with season two? What do you want for the game? This is more, what does your heart say, Jason? Not what does your intellect, not what does your mind say? What do you want for the game? What do you want for the show in season two?
I think I can say it pretty simply. I want the game to be enjoyable and fun. I want the game to be replayable. That's one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about. Even when we were playtesting Depths and Animal Kingdom, in their current states, I was never like, oh my gosh, I really want to play this again. I was looking at them as, which one can I make more fun? Which one will be more fun in the future? I want people to, when they play the game, to say, oh, I want to play that again. I want to do this thing differently, and I'm looking forward to playing this again. That's where I want to get with the game. The podcast remains that vehicle to tell that story. I do care a lot about the aesthetic of the podcast or how the website looks or what we're saying on social media, for sure. But the game also has to be something that is fun and replayable.
We'll see where else Snowball takes us.
Downhill.
What's next?
Well, the audience has been waiting for us to say, is it Depths? Is it Animal Kingdom? Did Mark's trick playing game for tricksters that came out of nowhere overwhelm everybody? That's what the audience is waiting for.
We'd really like to tell you all, but there's one little problem.
I wouldn't call it a problem.
There's one little detail missing.
Detail. That's good.
We don't know yet.
You will honestly find out in 2 weeks. We're not trying to cliffhanger you, we swear. But a few more conversations need to be had with the team. That's the answer.
And that's kind of how we planned it out with the team. Like, the decision-making process behind the team in this case just hasn't lined up with the podcast release dates.
Correct.
We'll be excited to share what the new game is going to be in the first episode of season two. The Misplay podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of our show, find our FAQ in Discord.
But, as you know, all great first seasons of anything, they always leave you on a cliffhanger. They get you, you know, right to the edge. Something exciting has happened. Maybe somebody's been shot. And we're not trying to be a gotcha podcast.
I was just about to say, I really don't like that as the best practice in the industry or the industry standard. Ha, more business.
Yeah, systems.
It's not even a system.
You say business, I say systems. That's our new motto. You say business, I say systems. Business. Say it.
I say business.
I say systems.